that term lost meant. And he took from Scripture a story, and he told those that were standing around him this story. He said, the kingdom of heaven, the subject of being lost, is much like the story of 100 sheep. 99 sheep were found. 99 the shepherd could account for. But one of those sheep was lost. One of those sheep had gotten away from the flock. One of those sheep dared to write a different story for themselves. And the love of God in that moment began to rewrite or reach out and touch that person in that moment of their life that you and I know is called lost. It was in that moment that Scripture tells us that Jesus tells the story that his love for us is so great that if we're lost, if we're away from God, if we're out of church, he will leave the 99 in good hands. And his love will carry him to the place of that one person who is lost. That one person who has gotten out of the reach of his love or the reach of the church. He'll go to that person, and in that place of lostness, he will pick them up and put them on his shoulders, and he will carry them out of the lost place. So in this story, he compares us to sheep. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not real glamorous to be compared to a sheep. But can I tell you, Michael, I've been compared to a lot worse, so I'll take sheep this morning. How about you? You see, every one of us have a story in common. Each and every one of us that have made Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior have something else in common. Each and every one of us have this fact in common, that we were in a lost place. We were away from God and we were without God's love, and he came to our lost place. And like sheep, he became a shepherd to us. He picked us up in our lost place, put us over his shoulders, and carried us to a place of salvation. So each and every one of us not only have a story in common, but for those of us who've made Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, we have the Savior, Jesus Christ, in common. I thought this would be a perfect moment to invite Daryl and Sandra Wittenberg to come. They're going to share with you a moment in their life. They're going to share a moment of water baptism in their life and what that moment meant to them as Jesus Christ, their shepherd, picked the little sheep off the ground, the little sheepette, and carried them. How many sheepettes in the house today? And carried them to a place of being found.
I just appreciate being called little. So, I was raised in a deacon's home. I mean, I was in church every time the doors were open. And so I got baptized at the age of 5 in Lebanon First Assembly, Lebanon First Nazarene Church, Lebanon, Missouri. 5 or 6, to be honest with you, I don't remember the exact year of my life, but I do know that Dean Rhodes dunked me in some spring-fed water in the baptistry of that church. And I understood the religion of that and promptly walked away from that for about 15 years of my life and was about as hypocritical as a person could be. And when I was a senior in high school, I saw this really cute girl and asked her out, and she said no 3 times. And she eventually said yes, and that was her first mistake because she got married to me eventually. But that really attractive young lady wasn't in church at all, ever, never. Had never been in church. You understand what I'm saying? And so whenever I told her...
And this concludes our story this morning. Would you just celebrate with the Wittenbergs?
When I told her that she needed to go to church with me, she said, why? I don't do this. I do things that you guys say are wrong, but I don't go somewhere on every Sunday and say that I don't do them. Don't know who she thought she was, but we continued to date. We got married. I didn't really come to Christ until I was 21, and I was sitting in the 4th floor of St. John's Hospital in Springfield, Missouri, and God smacked me on the head with a 2x4, and I was holding this wrinkled up, ugly newborn baby. Now, she is beautiful today, but she was a fat, squeezed together, you know, head like this kind of baby, and as I kissed her for the first time, God ask me, as vividly as I'm standing here today and in trouble with my daughter, and my wife, and my pastor, he said, what kind of father is she going to have? I'm done messing with you. Make a choice. And I tell you what, it scared me to death. Because I remembered a story of a man named Saul that God said he withdrew his spirit from. And I was at that day in my life. And that day I said, God, I don't know what I got to offer, but whatever it is, it'll be yours. And Sandra and I started on a path, and little did I know that she had kind of had that same experience in a closet of our home. And we went back to church in Lebanon, and we were at that time going to First Assembly of God, Lebanon, Missouri, and Kelly Pryor had really been preaching on the fact that we need to dedicate our lives. Not our Sundays, not our Wednesday nights, not our Sunday evenings, but to make our life burn and make it vivid. And Sandra had never been baptized, and she said, you know, I want to get baptized. And just like right now, she isn't going to say anything. She didn't want to do that without me. And I thought, you know what, I don't need to do that. I've already been baptized. And God not so quietly reminded me of the fact that I may have gotten wet one day, but that's really all I had done. And that I needed to symbolically, in front of a lot of people who thought I had already had it put together, let them see that, you know what? Living a lie for the last 16 years. And since that day, everything hasn't come up roses, and we haven't walked on streets of gold. But we have never walked alone. And on that day in Lebanon, Missouri, in First Assembly of God Church, we didn't just get wet. We showed everybody what had happened on the inside already.
That's awesome. Thank you, guys. That's wonderful. That's awesome. I want to thank the Wittenbergs for sharing the PG-13 version of their testimony, their story. We all have that in common. We all have a story. This morning, before this service is over, not only will every one of us have a story in common, but each and every one of us will have a Savior in common. From apostolic times in the early church, water baptism was considered as an outward sign of the inward work of grace by which a person is made a new creature in Christ. Baptism announces to the whole world that I have accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my Lord and as my Savior. Romans chapter 6 says in verse 17 that there is biblical authority for water baptism. He writes, the Apostle Paul, and says, "But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin, who had stories of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of the doctrine of teaching to which you are now committed. And having been set free from sin, have now become servants and slaves of righteousness." I love how Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 takes the biblical authority and puts the meaning of baptism in our hearts and in our lives through the written form of God's word. Paul is again writing, and to this church he says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." In just a moment, 24 different people are going to get in the water, get wet, and declare to the world that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. That he is alive and well inside them, that they are now not living after the things of sin, but they are living by faith in the Son of God who loved them and gave himself for them. Friends, I want you to welcome with me our children's pastor at this time, Paul Melinder, as he begins our celebration of salvation.
Morning, everybody. Jay, this is so exciting. It's always an exciting time to see the children and the youth and adults come together and to let everybody know whose team they are on. And that's one thing that we talked about in the last couple of weeks to the children, about why is it so important to be water baptized. And I'm just so grateful to see so many people making that decision. Because we taught the kids that if you weren't ready to be water baptized, you got in. What did you get, kids?
A bath.
A bath. That's right. That's what you got, is a bath. So today, we're not giving baths. We're getting people water baptized. Amen? So we're excited. So glad to be here. So if y'all would be with me so graciously as we bring in our first person to get water baptized.
We welcome Cheyenne Hooker. She was 9 years old when she accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. What she loves most about Jesus is everything, and He forgives her sins.
Because you're willing to come out here and to admit that in front of all these people, I want to baptize you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Next, we welcome Zachary Sloan. Zach was 6 years old when he asked Jesus into his heart. He wants to be baptized because Jesus was baptized, and he wants to be like Jesus. What Zach loves the most about Jesus is that he gave him two awesome parents.
Hey, Zach, how's water? Good? Zach, have you asked Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior? Well, because you're willing to admit this in front of all these people out here, I want to baptize you today in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good job. Come on, Zach.
And today we're celebrating with Frank Goodman. Frankie was 10 years old when he asked Jesus into his heart, and he is not ashamed of it. He wants to be baptized so he can get the Holy Spirit next. What Frankie loves the most about Jesus is that he died on the cross for our sins.
Excited? Is he excited? I think he's excited. Amen. Frank, have you asked Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior? I know you have. You've been such a shining light since I've been here. I'm so proud of you, and I want to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Next, we have Eli Baird. Eli is in the fourth grade. He was 6 years old when he asked Jesus into his heart. He wants to be baptized because he knows that Jesus has washed away all of his sins. What Eli loves the most about Jesus is that he died on the cross for his sins.
Pretty warm, huh? Yeah. Eli. You accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
You know, because you're willing to sit in here today and do that and say that in front of all these people, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Next, we have Ryan Nedbelek. Ryan has asked Jesus into his heart when he was 5 years old on March 8th, 2003. He wants to be baptized because he has never been baptized before, and he wants to show everyone that he loves the Lord. What Ryan loves the most about Jesus is that he comforts him and that he hears him when he prays. Ryan wants everyone to know that Jesus is his friend and that the Holy Spirit tells him what he needs to know.
That's awesome. Wow. Maybe you should be in the adult class. Good mom and dad, too. Ryan, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and have you accepted him?
Yes.
Well, by your profession of faith, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Next, we have Braden Bennett. Braden was 6 years old when he asked Jesus into his heart. He wants to be baptized because he wants Jesus to wash away his sins. What Braden loves the most about Jesus is that he died on the cross for his sins.
You ready? All right. Braden, do you believe that Jesus is your Christ and your Lord and Savior? And have you accepted him? Well, then it's my privilege, by your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Next, we have Zachary Sampson. Zachary is in the first grade. He was 5 years old when he asked Jesus into his heart. He wants to be baptized because he wants everyone to know that God forgives him of all of his sins. What Zach loves the most about Jesus is that he died on the cross for him.
Zach, before I get started, is there anything secret that you'd like to tell about your dad? You know I'm joking. We'll talk later. Zach, it's an honor and a privilege. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Well, then by your profession of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's my honor and privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Next, we celebrate with Jonathan Boone. Jonathan says that he will always remember when he asked Jesus into his heart. He wants to be baptized because he wants everyone to know that God forgives him of all of his sins. What Jonathan asked Jesus in his heart at Youth Coram Deo Retreat in 2007. And Jonathan says his life is now forever changed.
That's awesome. Can I take a poll by his parents? Is his life changed? Little Ben? Okay. Jonathan, it's a privilege to be your youth pastor. And do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?
Yes.
Well, then by your profession of faith, it's my honor and privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Fix his hair on the way out, too.
Next is Ryan Boone. And it was March 15th of this year, just a couple of months ago, at Youth Lift Retreat when Ryan began his journey with Christ. He says that he laid everything down at the altar and began a new life. He is here today to be baptized to seal the deal.
Ryan, man, it's a great privilege to be your youth pastor, and I'm going to ask a question that I've asked everyone. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir, I have.
That's awesome. Well, it's my happy privilege, by your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Next, we have Brittany Edworthy. Brittany accepted Jesus into her heart at church camp in the second grade when she was 7 years old. She felt that something was missing in her life, and after she made the decision to accept Jesus as her Savior, her life has been completely changed.
Brittany, again, I would have to totally agree with that statement. And I've just been your youth pastor for some time. You are a light in the darkness. And I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God?
Yes.
You accepted Him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Well, then it's my happy privilege to baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Next, we celebrate with Jonathan McKnight. Jonathan asked Jesus into his heart at the age of 7. Now, Jonathan wants to go from the guy in the back to the man in the front, praising God with all of his heart.
Did you write that yourself?
Yes.
That's good. That's really good. And y'all are getting bigger, and this tank's getting smaller. Jonathan, I know your mom and dad and family are here looking, and they're happy about this moment. But I'm going to ask you a serious question. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Well, then going from the back to the front is what you're about to do. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you. Good job, bro.
Next, Victoria Sapone. Victoria was 10 years old when she accepted Jesus into her heart. She is very excited about getting baptized today and to continue in the plan that God has for her. She would also like to thank her mother for such an amazing inspiration in her life and for getting me to church as much as she can.
That's awesome. Go, Mama. Makes you feel proud. I know I had a mom just like, go, Mom. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God? Have you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? Well, then it's my happy privilege, by your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Today we also rejoice with Molly Corcoran. Molly says that she has been a Christian, always been a Christian, but she didn't really begin living for Christ until this year on March 14th at the Youth Live Retreat. There she gave her life completely to Him and is ready to devote the rest of her life to God.
Wow. Molly, it's a privilege to be your youth pastor, and I know you have some proud parents out there as well. But I'm going to ask you a question that I asked the others. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Have you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? Well, then now you're going to burn for Him. In a good way. Don't try this at home. We are trying to work this microphone so that nobody gets hurt. And so, yeah. At this time, our next candidate is Pastor Clint DeGroot for water baptism. We'd like to take this moment to ask you just to stand to your feet. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11 that you and I are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Earlier this morning, you heard me say that every one of us has a story in common. When each of our stories meet Jesus, when each of us come face to face with an old rugged cross that's filled with grace and forgiveness for each one of us, it means that now our story includes the Savior.
And as the Savior steps into our lives and fills our story with his love and forgiveness, we're given a testimony. We're able to say, once we were lost, but now we are found. It's the kind of thing that when it happens in your life, you just want to sing. And you want to sing about a love so great that it forgave a wretch even like you. And so we're going to take this moment to stretch our faith, to express our appreciation to God, and to let a song serve as a testimony for us as we sing of a love that would give us the ability and strength to sing forever.
I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love.
Being seated, I can't help but as I join Pastor Clint here on the floor to finish our baptismal service, I can't help but think about how several years ago when this church was still at the Hilton Hotel, how you walked through the back door of a church and you were living trapped in a story of sin, and how in one service time the Savior met you in the midst of your story, and how your life has never been the same since then, and the impact of your life and your wife's life here at Dominion Church, and how different we've been as a result of what the Savior did in his story. It's been amazing. As you were baptizing the first group of young people, I couldn't help but notice how once you had a story, and now you have a Savior. And how the Lord uses you and your wife, Casey, as some of his special agents, some of his undercover agents, to go to a generation of youth who many have said are lost and has no hope. How does it feel to see these same young people that as a shepherd you went, was a part of finding them in their place of lostness, picking them up on your shoulders and carrying them to the cross like he carried you? How does that feel this morning? How does it feel to baptize these same kids?
There's no expression that I could ever say to baptize someone, have the honor and privilege to baptize someone and see a life actually changed and a life that is now living for God. It's amazing. And I think the song Amazing Grace says it all. It's amazing. And there's really no words and there's no heartfelt thing that I can say like a Hallmark card, but man, it's amazing. And to have the honor and privilege to be the youth pastor for your children, and it's really a cool deal.
Amen. That's wonderful. Well, let's continue in our water baptism this morning.
Next, we have Aaron Meddy. Aaron gave his life fully to Christ in November of 2007. He says that it is the best thing that has ever happened to him, and he wants to surrender his life to Christ for good. He added that he is so grateful to be part of Dominion Church.
Well, it's opening kickoff of the second half, and I couldn't think of a better person. And I hate goodbyes. But I know that your mom and your dad and family that's here to watch you has seen just such a tremendous change and such a tremendous work of God in your life. And I'm going to ask you a question that I asked every other person that has done this. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? Well, by your profession of faith in our Lord, it's my honor and privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
The next candidate for baptism is Ian Henderson. Ian gave his heart to Christ October 2007 at the Coram Deo Youth Retreat. He is very excited about having Pastor Clint baptize him today, and he is ready to show the world that he is living for Christ.
Ian, it's so cool because I know that your dad's getting baptized today too, but I know your family is very proud of you for the commitment that you are making to Christ. And I've seen just a tremendous change in your attitude and just in who you are, because who you are is very, very cool, dude. There's no one that can do Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonations like you. Would you like to get baptized now?
Just put me in the water.
Only at Dominion Church. I'm going to ask you a question that I asked everybody else. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ?
Yes, sir.
Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior?
No.
Well, then by your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Next, we have Allison Henderson. Allison gave her heart to the Lord November of 2007. She was a little nervous about being baptized, but after reading a passage of Scripture in Galatians, she realized just how important it is to show the world that you are living for Christ. She is ready and very excited about being baptized today.
Allison, I know that you love Jesus. You can see it just all over your life and how you walk and how you interact. And it's a really cool deal to see. I'm going to ask you a question. It's a hard question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?
I believe.
Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior?
I have.
Well, then it's my happy privilege. Through your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I think it's
as a church family to take note of the fact that there's an entire family that has come to be baptized this morning. This is the family of Bubba Henderson, and he and his wife and his children are here, and as an entire family are being baptized together. And so, Elizabeth, how many of you are here today and it just makes you want to bring your whole family down at the end of this deal and do the baptismal again? I see some hands going up all over the building. Well, go ahead, Elizabeth, and introduce our next candidate, please.
April Corder. April gave her life to Christ in April of 2007. She is ready to commit everything she has to Him, just as it says in John 14:21. She is getting baptized today to be obedient to His word.
April, did you really mean what you said when you said, "I'd be willing to give it all to Jesus Christ"? Does that include your iPod? Okay. Have you given your heart to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And has He given His to you? Then if you would take your hands and put them over your nose, by the profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Next, we have Amanda Corder. Amanda says that she has always been involved in church and that she has always known and loved God. But the day that she gave her whole life to Christ was on December 27, 2006, at a church retreat. She decided that she didn't want to be of this world. Instead, she wants to be a living sacrifice for Christ.
Amanda, have you invited the Lord into your heart? And have you made Him your Lord and Savior? And how does this moment feel for you? Excited? Show them your excitement face. If you would take your hands, put them over your nose. By the profession of your public faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Next, we have Mom, Pamela Henderson. Pam accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior as a child, but never committed to living her life for Him until March of 2007, when she showed up at the doors of Dominion Church, broken from a failed marriage. God has restored her marriage and her family, and has worked such a miracle in their lives. Pam and her husband and her children are now born again and living their lives for Jesus Christ. And now they celebrate as an entire family being baptized together.
Pamela, someone very dear to you came up to me this morning, and just with almost tears running of joy running down their eyes, she said, "This represents 7+ years of praying. Today is about answered prayer." And I could just see in her such strength, such energy, such excitement, and such faith. And I wonder, not only as a mom, not only as a person, how does it feel to look and see your children and your husband be baptized today? Wonderful, and you're blessed. Then by your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Now the priest of the home, it's Norfleet Bubba Henderson. Bubba has accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior in August of 2007, and now he is here today to make that known.
How you feel?
Good.
Good?
Wet.
Why don't we just stand and sing a chorus together? Of I feel good, na-na-na-na-na-na, like I knew. Oh, I'm sorry. We now return you to your regularly scheduled water baptism already in progress.
Bubba, have you asked Jesus Christ into your heart and made him your Lord and Savior? Then it's my privilege now, because of the profession of your faith, to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Next, we welcome Jennifer Ramos. Jennifer has been in church for about 3 years now, and it was in 2005 that she accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. She is very excited about this day in her life and is ready to make it known to the world that she is living for Christ.
Let's get a good family picture, okay? Jennifer, it's been an awesome privilege to be your pastor for the last 3 years. And like we've asked the other candidates, I'm going to ask you, have you made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? And how does it feel to be in this moment of your life? Exciting. Well, then it's my happy privilege now, by the profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Now we have David Henderson. Dave accepted Jesus in his life nearly 4 years ago. With the love and encouragement from his Dominion Church family, he feels that he has made great progress in his walk with God. Today, he is very happy to take the next step of baptism in service to the Lord, to his Lord and Savior, and he professes his faith to the world.
David, how did it feel just a few minutes ago to see your son Ian baptized?
Exceptionally wonderful.
Amazing. Now, how does it feel to take your turn? Wonderful. Well, by the public profession of your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Truly a day of celebration. Would you just put your hands together one more time for all of those who were baptized this morning? I would say that that is all of the candidates for this morning. But even as I say that, I would say there's still room in the water baptistry for you. Scripture records a story of Christ, and that he and his disciples, in the book of Mark chapter 8 and verse 27, are going from village to village around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he looked at his disciples and he asked them a question that I'm going to ask each and every one of us this morning. That question that he asked his disciples was this: who do people say that I am? His disciples replied and they said, Jesus, some say that you are John the Baptist. Others say that you're Elijah. And still others say that you are one of the prophets. Then Christ stops what he's doing. And he goes from asking what the crowd say about him and who they say he is to personalizing that question. He says to them, and he asks of them, what I'm going to ask of each and every one of you in just a moment. He looked at them, he said, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? One young disciple by the name of Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask in this moment that you would be a shepherd to each one of us that Scripture refers to as sheep, that you would go into the lost places of our heart,
the lost places of our life, that you would go to the place of our need, and that you would stoop down and that you would pick us up with your grace, with your forgiveness and mercy, and that you would put us on your shoulders and carry us out of that place that Scripture calls lost into the place of having been found. That place that each of us can be found forgiven, and that each of us can find hope. Take this moment, Lord, and just stir each and every heart to answer that question. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to give you just a little background of this place that Jesus is in. You see, he waits for a specific location. There's a geographic location that they're in, and he waits to be in that place before he asks them, "Who do you say that I am?" That place in Scripture is called Caesarea Philippi. Now, this area was an especially pagan city and area. It was known for its worship of Greek gods and its temples devoted to the ancient Greek god by the name of Pan. Pan, the Greek god, was known to be the Greek god of shepherds and flocks, of mountain wilds, hunting, and rustic music. History records that he was considered this mythological person as half man and half goat. He was half man from the waist down, and he had the horns of a goat. And so it's that kind of spirit that hovered in and around that area. Now, something else that's going to help you better understand what's going on here is that this area carried one of the sources of the Jordan River. It's here that the Jordan River was spring-fed from under a large rocky cliff that rises more than 100 feet above the village of Caesarea Philippi. And history records that the people went out and they carved images of their idols in the face of that 100-foot rock. And it's in the middle of those idols, it's in the middle of that place that was known for being lost, for being pagan, that Jesus stops and he looks at his disciples. He moves from asking a question that's more generic or big picture. He moves it into the context of each one of their hearts. And he asks each and every one of them, "But who do you say that I am?" Of those 12 disciples, Scripture only records one saying, "You are the Christ." This morning, we live in a world that is much like this area of Caesarea Philippi. We live in a world that's filled with all different kinds of voices, all different kinds of appetites, all different kinds of temptations and desires, many of which have become a modern-day version of an idol. We bear those images in our heart, much like they bore those images on the rock. On the face of 100 feet worth of rock, they carved those symbols that represented the idols and the gods of their heart. You and I don't do that anymore. We put them on the desks of each of the classrooms that we attend during school. And how many of you remember carving an idol or an image into a desk while you were growing up? Raise your hand for just a moment. Well, just as idol gives back, dominion's going to give back. And for each and every one of you that raised your hand, we're going to ask for you to drop off to our ushers $50 on the way out the door. We're going to send it to your school and apologize on your behalf for the idol and the image that you carved on the desk growing up. Any of you ever guilty of carving your initials? Some of you are a little too honest this morning. How many of us could just say, how many of us have ever been guilty and just stop there? Well, see, in that day and time, that's what the people did. They went out to the rock and they carved on the rock an image of the idol that represented who they served in their heart. In this day and time, we do the exact same thing. We have certain things we live for, certain things that we put first. We carve the images of those idols in the decisions and the choices that we make. We carry desires and appetites in our heart. And while we hide them from the rest of the world, they're very plainly seen and very clearly seen in our choices and the decisions of deciding who will be the God in our life. Today we've celebrated 24 people who were once lost, who were once in another place serving different idols and images, who in that place of lostness, like a sheep away from the flock, We celebrated the fact that Jesus Christ went into their life and carried them out of that place. I don't know about you, but that helps me better understand why all of heaven, Scripture says, will stand and rejoice when just one is carried out of the place of lostness. Today we celebrated 24. So we ask those 24, who do you say is the Lord of your heart? Who do you say that Jesus is? And all 24 looked at Jesus and said, you are the Christ. You are the Savior in my heart. My story now includes you. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Now comes the moment in the service that I move from asking who they said he was to asking each and every one of you, who do you say that Jesus Christ is? Are you here this morning and you just say he's a prophet? You just say he's a good man. You're here and you're saying, well, he's the one that the hypocrites serve. You see, each of us have an answer. And yet history records that each of us will give an account for that answer. So we come to the conclusion of this service. We come to the conclusion of asking, who do they say he is? To now coming to the beginning of asking you, who do you say he is? For you to answer that question, you have to look inside. You have to look inside your heart. You get there by looking at your choices. You get there by looking at your decisions. You get there by looking at your excuses. That's how you begin to answer that question. You begin to get in the time machine of your heart and you go back and you think about yesterday and you think about last week and you think about the things in your heart that maybe nobody else knows about but you and God. The truth, my friend, is God knows. And today he uses this preacher's voice to ask you about the things in your heart, to ask you about the things in your past, and to ask you this question, who do you say that Jesus Christ is? 24 people answered today. And 24 people that we're going to call them and they looked at each of us and said in their own way, by getting in this tank of water, they said, he is Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is the one that has forgiven me of all my sins. And when they said that, they said, I was once lost, but now I can celebrate because the Savior has found me. I'm going to ask you, friend, to make the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. It starts by asking the entire building of people to reverently, quietly stand to their feet. As you're not standing in the village of Caesarea Philippi, but standing in the village of League City and Clear Lake, I'm going to ask you just now, as you stand, to bow your heads, to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to begin to answer that question, not just for me, but for yourself. That question is, who do you say that Jesus is? This morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm beginning a count to three. I'm going to begin by counting and asking, are you the one that in just a moment you're going to raise your hands and you're going to say, I want to be found. I want to go public with making Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. I want to be a part of the family of God. I want to be a part of this family. I want to come back on another Sunday and I want to be the one that gets baptized, that tells the whole world that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I've asked that first question. I've counted one. I'm asking a second question. And in doing this, I'm counting two. Will you too? Will you too answer that question with the right answer? Will you too take the right answer and run with it? Will you too say, like many of us, I was once lost, but now, Jesus, I give you permission I give you permission to find me. Will you too be the person that this morning raises their hands and says, man, Pastor Greg, I've been in a place of lostness. I've been in a place of running from God, but this morning I'm going to raise my hand and the running stops. And I'm going to stand right here and let Jesus find me. I've asked you two questions. I've counted one. I've counted two. In just a moment, I'm going to say three. And I want every person who wants to answer this question correctly to get their right hand ready. Because in just a minute, I'm going to ask the question, who do you say that Jesus is? Your right answer is with a raised hand. That raised hand's going to say, and that raised hand is going to mean, I want to invite Jesus Christ into my heart and make him my Lord and Savior. And that, my friend, is the right answer. I've counted one. I've counted two. For each and every one of you that are ready to be found by Jesus Christ, and you're ready to say he is the Lord and the Savior of your life, you've got your right hand ready. And now when I say three, you're going to raise that right hand, hold it up for a minute, and then put it right back down after I've seen it. I've counted one, I've counted two. Now, get your right hand ready. Three! Thrust it up in the air and join with people all over this congregation. Yes, sir, I see your hand. Yes, sir, I see your hand. Yes, sir, I see your hand. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. Put your hand straight up in the air and say, I've got the right answer. Yes, sir, I see your hand in the back. There's still time. Five people have raised their hands. Yes, sir, in the youth section, I see your hand. You've raised your hand and you've said, yes, sir, Pastor Greg, I know Jesus now. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand in the back. Six people have said, yes, I want to make Jesus Christ my answer. I want to answer and say, more than a prophet, more than an Old Testament, New Testament figure, I want to make him the Savior of my life. And that, my friend, is the right answer. There's still time. Three people have raised their hand. Excuse me, six people have raised their hand. Yes, sir, I see your hand. That makes seven. Seven have raised their hand and said, yes, I want to answer that question right. I want to call him my Lord and my Savior. See, our whole church family's been praying for this moment in your life that you too might find the same Savior we did. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to lead each and every one of us in a prayer. And for the seven of you that raised your hands, this prayer, when prayed in faith, is going to begin that relationship of Jesus Christ in your heart. This is that moment in your story that the Savior steps in. This is the moment you meet the Savior. This is the moment that in weeks to come, when we have our next baptismal, you can sit in the tank and you can say, yes, back on that day in April, April 27th, I raised my hand. I had the right answer and I made Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. This is that moment when the Savior steps into your story. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, each of us are going to join those seven who've raised their hands. Let us pray this prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. I now come to you with all of my sin and with my whole story. And I ask the Savior Jesus Christ into my heart. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Cleanse me. And make me whole. Dear Jesus, I take this moment to give my life to you and to commit the rest of my life to becoming more like you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's think about it. Heaven says that a celebration takes place when one person is found. Can you imagine the noise in heaven that seven would make as this morning all of heaven looks over the edge of heaven down on Dominion Church and sees seven different people in the middle of their story ask the Savior to join them? Can you imagine what heaven must sound like right now? I think it sounds a little bit like this. In fact, I think it sounds a lot like this. Some of you may be tempted to whistle. That would be okay. I've got the left side represented. I've got the right side. Does anybody over here feel a whistle of celebration? Now, here's how we're going to end the celebration. How many of you love sports? You love sports. Now, how many of you actually got to play on a real team? And do you remember, as an athlete, that moment when they turned down the lights and they introduced, like in basketball, the starting five? Do you remember that moment when they called your name and you kind of did the strut? Oh, yeah. Who's that name? GT. That's whose name it is. GT. And all eyes were on you, and everybody thought to themselves what you were thinking. What were you thinking? You were thinking, I'm the man. You've heard about me? You've read about me? Now see my stuff. No, that just went through Pastor Clint's head, is what he told me this morning before service. No, but here's the deal. In that moment, you were not awkward. You were not shy. Because to some degree, you were the man. Now here's how we're going to finish this day of celebration out. Seven people raised their hands. And now they are the man. Heaven says their name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And here's what we're going to do. We as a church family have a gift that we're going to give to you. It's a little booklet that teaches you what to do now that you've made Jesus a part of your story. In just a minute, we're going to let everybody start to cheer. And all seven people are going to have a chance to walk down the aisle and come to the front of the building. And in this moment, not only be the man, but meet the man. This is the equivalent of being a part of the starting five. So you got it going. Now get the celebration. If you were one of the seven that raised your hand this morning, our staff is going to meet you now. We want you to come on down. Let yourself slip out into the aisle and come on down. Give them a hand. You know what this moment feels like. Give it up this morning. We still got room for the other three. This is your moment. Woo! That's awesome, man. Now, perhaps this morning you felt a little uncomfortable in coming down. That's okay. Can I encourage you to come by the cafe and introduce yourself to myself and my wife, Pastor Dina, and can we celebrate with you in the cafe this morning what all of heaven has been celebrating in these moments together? This has been a tremendous day in which each of us can truly say, look what the Lord Jesus Christ has done.